We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio with us from MTSU, we have Gina Poff. And Gina, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. And you're the director of the new student and family programs at the university.
Correct.
So we're going to be talking about rebranded New to Blue and the student orientation sessions set for this summer. Tell us a little bit more about that. How many students, first of all, do you expect to see out there?
Well, we hope that we will see about 4,000, including freshmen and transfers, and their parents, and their parents and guests. Typically outnumber our students as well each session, so it's great to have that support, and we really are excited about having them on campus, getting the feeling for what it's going to be like to be a student in the fall.
And what kind of questions, or what's the most popular question that parents have whenever they're there?
Oh, lots of questions. A main concern is, you know, how am I going to pay for it? Is our financial aid packages lined up? Where will my student eat? Where are they going to stay? How are they going to make friends? How are the professors? Are they going to be able to handle the workload? So we try during orientation, while it's a one-day kind of intensive day, we do try to prepare them, get them thinking through our resources and support services that are on campus that can help aid their student, whether they are sick and away from home the first time, or, you know, they are struggling a little in a class and need a little tutoring. So we try to share with our students and their guests that there are tons of resources on campus that can help them through whatever bump that they might hit.
And for a lot of these students, I'm guessing this is their first time to really be away from home other than maybe summer camp here and there.
Often. I think a lot of times folks thought about MTSU as being Tennessee attended. We have a lot of out-of-state students, quite a few international students, and so it's their first time experiencing being away from home for a long extended time, but also a new city, a new state. So we try to acclimate them to our not only our campus, but our community as well, and the support that Murfreesboro offers to our students. So while we still have a large group of in-state and even close to Murfreesboro students, a lot of them, even you will hear, I've been from Murfreesboro my whole life, but I didn't realize that this was on campus, or I didn't realize I could do this as a student. So it's just really helpful to give them kind of a glimpse of those things early on, so they can start on the right foot and be prepared to utilize all the opportunities that are there.
Is there an average distance as to how far away a lot of these students are coming from for MTSU?
I mean, I think it really varies. We do have a lot of commuter students that come from the Wilson County, Bedford County, Nashville area, and they drive daily. But we have a good number of students that stay in apartments or live on campus that are from, you know, the Chattanooga, the Knoxville, and then further around. So it varies. We have a wide variety of students, and so that helps add a nice dynamic to students learning about other people that they're not used to being around. So it's a new to blue orientation definitely gives them a glimpse of making friends with those different types of students for the very first time.
I know for years and years, universities, not only in Tennessee, but really all over the country, they really wanted freshman students to live on campus. But a lot has changed over the years with that. And you do have a lot of students who don't live on campus anymore. But what do those numbers look like?
Well, our university has the ability to house about 3,000 students. So with an incoming class a little larger than that, it's definitely impossible to house all of our new students on campus. We also are seeing that the students that live on campus with us want to continue to live on campus with us. So it's not just like, oh, my freshman year and then I'm going to move off. They like the on-campus convenience. They like the resources that are right at their you know, bedroom doors. And I think those numbers have increased. So that also decreases a little bit of our opportunity to house some of our brand new students. And so the application application process has become important that the students apply for housing very early in their search for university. And so if they are planning to come to orientation, planning to come to MTSU, they need to do their housing way before orientation.
When you talk to the incoming students, what is their biggest fear about starting at MTSU?
Well, I think a lot of them are concerned about fitting in and making, you know, friends. And I think they are also concerned, are they going to be able to handle the coursework? Is this going to be too hard? And one of our vice presidents that's since gone has definitely said to our students, you can do hard things. Things are not going to be easy, but this is part of the maturity and the growing up that you will do. It's adulthood. And so I think when students get through that first semester and realize classes are tough, professors have high expectations, and the university does as well of our students, and they do well, that they feel very accomplished. So it's a great way to boost up that confidence.
And when you talk about a university with, you know, over 20,000 students, most of which are on campus there, it, I think, allows for a lot of these students who come out of these high schools of maybe 500 students, it allows them to find true friendships, and sometimes they find their true self in a lot of ways.
That's definitely true. They get to be around and experience different cultures and different personalities and different backgrounds, which really expands it's the full education process, in my opinion. It's where they learn what life is about, and they do get to meet, and oftentimes they're looking out for each other. So it's that bond happens quickly when you're trying to help somebody through a class or a homesick or whatever it is. Those friends that they make really become forever friends.
Hey, and it's wild because with 20,000 plus students, you're talking about the size of, well, bigger than a lot of cities where some of these more rural students are coming from. So it's like fitting an entire city in, I don't know, 8 square blocks or so.
Right. It's very nice, though, that our faculty and staff as well are there to support students when they're looking for help. They're not on their own. They're not just having to rely on their classmates or the person that lives down the hallway. They've got a lot of advisors and staff on campus that really are invested in their success as well. And orientation, we try really hard to explain that is there, and that is our goal. Their success is our success. So it's our goal to make sure that they know where to look and know who to ask and have the ability to search on their own and find things that are new to them and exciting for them, and sometimes change their pathway in life.
And does this orientation cover more than just one day? Is it 2 days long, three days?
It is a one-day session now. We do, though, require that they do an online. It's really a class. It's what we call D2L, and it's what our professors on campus use in their classes. So we start them with that. We enroll them into an orientation. It's called pre-orientation. They do those modules before they come to orientation. It gives them a really good base of knowledge of all the things that we want them to know and understand. And then when they come to campus for orientation, they know the questions that they should ask. They know the things that they need the most. They understand the basics, so I say, and they realize that there are things that are more important to them, and so that's what they seek out, and that's who they make contact with while they're on campus. So it's a layered approach, and the pre-orientation course actually is a great resource forever, because once they're in that course, they've got access to that course and they can go back and visit it. So while they may be on campus tomorrow for orientation, they might have a question in June about something specifically, and they can go back to that orientation course, look that up and find out what they need, or know who to contact to search a little bit more if they have questions.
For parents listening, no matter what school their child is going to, you know, this upcoming semester, be it summer school or be it after that, you know, their biggest concern, one of their biggest concerns has got to be revolving around the issue of safety and
sure.
Wanting to know, how safe is my child? What do you tell the parents in regards to school safety?
Well, I know at MTSU, we have a fantastic police department. They're out and about, and they're around all the time. So I've always felt safe there. I was a student there years ago, and we do focus on that in orientation. That is, we want our students to know that they aren't living in a bubble, that they have some self-responsibility, that they need to learn to not walk across campus at 3 o'clock in the morning by themselves in the dark. You know, don't leave your backpack unattended while you run to the restroom in the library. Life, as life happens outside of a university wall, the same thing happens inside. So you have to learn, and it's sometimes a hard lesson to learn, is to not lock that bike up and come back out the next morning and it's gone. So while we know we have the resources and the folks there to keep them safe, they really have to kind of use their noggin a little bit as well to know the smart things to do. But our police are also available and out and about, and even staff a table at orientation. So parents get an opportunity to talk to them in person as well. They can talk a little bit more about, you know, ways that they can help educate their student over the summer about how to be prepared in the safety realm as well.
Again, Gina Poff with us today, Director of the New Student and Family Programs at MTSU, and we're talking about orientation. Whenever you're talking to the students about what's expected of them, I'm sure you cover the topics of, you know, you guys can't do silly stuff like pull pranks like maybe you used to do in high school. You can't drink and get intoxicated on campus. So, right. You know, how do you go about explaining these things to students, and do they get a full grasp on, okay, I understand that, you know, I can't do X, Y, Z?
I think they do. They are often excited about the process of their first independence. But we do explain clearly and talk about our rules and regulations and those kinds of things at orientation. We want them, not only do they need to know about tutoring and things like that, but they need to know that bad decisions often have bad consequences, and sometimes that you learn the hard way. I will say we have a great department that's now added a component called CARES. And so not only are we don't want to have students do bad things, but we want them to know that there is a backup. There are things in place that can help them learn the rules and regulations. And so I think our faculty does a really good job in the classroom as well, talking about making really smart decisions, making the time at MTSU build on what your future is going to be. So a really good student makes a really good citizen when they move and they graduate and they start their life and their jobs.
I like how you kind of frame it to where MTSU understands kids are going to be kids. They're going to make mistakes, but you can deal with that. And there's things you can do in order to correct that behavior or whatever it was that they did, which is a positive. I'm sure parents also like to hear that.
Right. I don't think that we aren't out to get them. We want to lead them in the right direction. And our conduct and CARES, again, while they are about the rules, they are about caring as well. And when students are in crisis, you know, we've got a great team in student affairs that is ready to help them through our counseling center, through our CARES and conduct office, our health services department. So we're there for the whole student, and orientation introduces them to those possibilities.
How hard is it to convince parents it's okay to let go, your child's going to be just fine?
It is a big step for students as well as parents, because the parents have done all the work and been the person that the teachers and the principal can contact for 18 years. So it's a very different world now that the student has responsibility for their own academic record and their own health record. And while some students are going to come not even being 18, when they are entering the university, they are now on their own as far as it's their record. And so we do need to remind parents that occasionally. And I think we try to frame it in that your student is growing and you've taught them all these wonderful things for 18 years. Now let them shine with it. Let them use what they already know and what you've impressed on them all these years. We will guide them when they have struggles or are confused, make a bad mistake, whatever, to try to keep them on the right road.
You always hear stories from, you know, some university across the country where they have a 13-year-old who's a freshman this year.
Yes.
What's the youngest student that you've seen or the youngest student this coming semester?
I'm not sure about this upcoming semester. I have not heard any details on that, but we have had several that are 13, 12, and that's a very brilliant child, obviously, but also has to take on a whole different level of maturity coming into a university setting. But we do have resources there that help those students walk through that process as well. We know they aren't really completely ready for independent life, so it's a nice relationship to work with the students that are younger, their parents, and then the faculty and staff and advisors that work with the student to try to keep them in an area that's logical to their age, as well as the ability that they have in the academic world.
By the time most of these students start their freshman year, are they like average 18 or are they 19?
A lot of them are 17. We do have quite a few that are 17 and 18. We have a really large inflow of adult learners as well. So we have students that are 24, 5, 6, and 7 coming back that maybe did the military, maybe just decided they wanted to work, and now they're ready to start a college path in addition to their current career. So the variety is really, really wide it's as the ages. So it is nice to see in a classroom someone that's 17 sitting by someone who's 30 and how they learn from each other and how they help each other. So I think that's a nice, unique part of MTSU.
As we close this morning, have the students, the parents who are going to be part of this orientation already received all the information for the upcoming event?
Yes.
Okay.
They should. If the student has been tentatively admitted, they've been sent information about how to sign up. And so our first one is tomorrow. We do have 14 freshman sessions to choose from, and then 8 transfer sessions. We do offer a virtual option for our transfer students that may have already been to a university and then already kind of have the rules and they know what to do because they've been a student somewhere before. So, but there are a wide variety of dates. And again, it's a one-day session now, and it is a full day, so we do a lot from teaching them campus resources, showing them around campus, having them advised and registering for their classes. They even pick up their blue IDs, so they're ready to go for school to start in August when they come and are finished with orientation.
Sounds like it's going to be interesting, and you're going to have a lot of people there.
We will have a fun summer.
Again, Gina Poff with us this morning from MTSU, talking about student orientation. Well, Gina, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit MTE.com.
MTE.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better.
Since 1936.
Hi, I'm Lee Colvin, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor. And while you've heard the saying, slow and steady wins the race, that same concept can be applied to long-term investing. Investing a little bit at a time on a regular basis can really add up. We call this systematic investing, and though it doesn't guarantee a profit or prevent a loss, it's a way to take advantage of market volatility instead of enduring it. Give me a call, Lee Colvin, at 615-907-7056. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Here at Animal City, we keep your pet protected, safe, and comfortable. So whether it's helping you find the perfect bedding for your critter or a toy that your dog will absolutely love, let our experience help you here at Animal City. Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Here at Animal City, we are very proud to be family-owned and serving Murfreesboro since 1990. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro, Animal City.
A look at the news, views, politics, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Listen each weekday morning at 9 o'clock for the Roundtable here on News Radio WGNS.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We're going to continue the conversation with MTSU. We have Carly Eskew with us today, Director of the Executive Education Program at MTSU. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know you've been on before, so talk a little bit about what you do.
Sure. So in my role of Director of Executive Education, I lead both corporate training for local organizations as well as regional, as well as professional education for individuals within the business discipline, but all outside of the 4-credit degree program. So basically upskilling and team training for both individuals and companies.
Entrepreneurship here in Rutherford County, I'm sure it's alive and well, but what is the focus? What does that focus look like rather at MTSU?
It's a really good question. And certainly we have a fantastic degree program that we can invite others to come on the program and talk a little bit more about. But it's a really timely question this morning because through Exec Ed for the first time ever, the dates specifically are July 7th through 10th, we're offering a 4-day McDowell Entrepreneurship Institute for the general public to sign up for. So 4 days around gathering local entrepreneurs. Some of those will be recent alum who started businesses. Others may be folks who've just left their company to go out on their own for the first time. And so we're offering afternoon sessions in the Miller Education Center for entrepreneurs to come together and tackle some of the most common challenges for building, growing, and scaling the business.
So what are some of the most interesting things you've heard either from entrepreneurs or from others who are there to learn how they can, you know, move forward with their dreams?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So a common one that I'll get, especially in partnership with the Tennessee Small Business Development Center, we partner closely with Galen Long over there, who also teaches finance on campus at the Jones College. He helps us identify folks who, okay, the formal degree may not be exactly what I need as an entrepreneur, but I know I need to do more in the way of understanding marketing strategy or how to use AI in my business or sales. And so a lot of the conversation that I have with local entrepreneurs is, you know, is the full degree worth it? And I think sometimes it is, but sometimes there are these more focused, accelerated sessions that we offer that can give them that opportunity.
Again, Carly Eskew with us. And I know in the past we talked a little bit about AI and, mm-hmm. and how that's kind of fitting in to the mm-hmm. business world. Mm-hmm. But it's been at least 6 months since you've been on last. Mm-hmm. So kind of update us on all of that.
Sure. So I think we've actually, being a relatively young org ourselves, we learned to pivot quickly. And I think what we're doing a little bit more of now versus even the last time we talked in fall was figuring out how to weave AI into all of our classes. So rather just having, you know, an AI-focused exec ed course or corporate training, which we certainly can do, I think we've learned the value of embedding that into every conversation. We led a data analytics class earlier this year, and one of the execs who was in the class said, oh my gosh, I got so much more out of watching what others are doing with AI on the first day than I thought I would. And that wasn't even on the syllabus, right? So we're just bringing folks together who know how to use the tools, and they're learning from another one another in that way. Same is true for this Entrepreneurship Institute, although we do have a dedicated speaker on AI technology on the third day. So there'll be some organic use of the AI tools, but also some really dedicated and intentional training on that as well.
When putting programs together, what is it that you enjoy most about your job or about the market in general, maybe?
So my MBA concentration was in marketing. So it is fun for me to listen to the market through surveys, conversations, to kind of figure out exactly what do people say that they look for, and then also compare that to what they sign up for. And they're not always the same. And so that's really interesting for me. But one of the things that I enjoy the most once folks are in the classroom is just watching them connect with local professionals that they otherwise would not have had the opportunity to. And again, it's almost similar to embedding AI. AI might not have been the reason that they come to this class, but it's one of the reasons why they're glad that they came when they walk away. Same is true of networking. Almost nobody tells us, hey, I signed up for this class because I wanted to meet local business professionals, or I wanted to get new clients. Although arguably it should be a reason. They walk away with that as, you know, almost always the top three reasons why they're glad they attended.
How much would you say that those who are in attendance actually learn from other people outside of their general market or outside of what they do day in and day out?
I would say that they are learning as much from their peers and their classmates in each of the courses as they are their professors, that's for sure. But they're almost always in very different industries. So again, being sort of a young organization as we are in terms of proactive outreach, we, like a lot of organizations, tap into our network, and our network is wide and far. And so large corporate firms to new companies, I would say they're almost always, and even when within the class, I try to make sure we partner and develop groups across industries where it makes sense. They're almost always interacting with folks who are well outside of their discipline, which is really fun to see.
If you were to take a snapshot of the business culture today and then compare it maybe 10 years ago and then 30 years ago even, how much has it changed?
You know, I'm probably not the expert on this question, but I'll take one bite of it. So I think one thing that's pretty unique right now is we have so many generations in the workforce, so we can't broadly say our workplace culture is like this, right? Or my team is like this, because in most major companies, that's highly dependent on the specific workforce and what generation that they're from. And so I'd say one of the ways that it's changed is just how cross-generational the workforce is now. And that actually relates to a course that we had last fall, as well as one coming up in June that we're calling Culture-Driven Leadership. We're trying to take into account what works and what doesn't with the next generation, because I think there is a tendency right now, if you are one of the most seasoned generations in the workforce now, to have some pessimism, to be honest, around young employees. And I think within that class, or the feedback that we've been given, is that we were able to sort of change minds and demonstrate how similar to some of the more mature generations this younger generation is. They're just more willing to say so and act it out. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, and I've also noticed that in this day and age, there's a lot of companies out there that pay just as close of attention to their employees as they do to their customer base. And they're just as outgoing towards that employee as they are to the customer. And that didn't used to be the case.
Yeah, you can't please customers, or you can't do your best with customers if your workforce isn't as excited as you are about doing that, right? And so, yeah, I couldn't agree more. You see a lot of companies sort of rewriting mission statements that used to have nothing to do with the employee. You know, there's the old cliche, customer first, always. Well, there's no customer if there's no workforce to serve it, right? And so you see a lot of companies sort of weaving that in because they understand for the longevity of the firm and for them to be able to do their best work, teams have to, well, exist, stay, and feel satisfied.
Again, Carly Eskew with us, Director of the Executive Education Program at MTSU. If anybody would like to learn more about any of these things we've talked about, any of these topics, what do they need to search online for?
Sure. MTSU Exec Ed. That's just it. We live within the Jones College of Business. Our physical presence is at the Miller Education Center on Bell Street. But we're pretty easy to find there. We've got our summer slate of courses already posted up there. Again, next month we'll have Culture-Driven Leadership. In July, we'll have the entrepreneurship offering that we talked about. And then moving into August, we'll have a job readiness series.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. We're trying to give them a place where they can eat with their family that's not fast food. We want to create an atmosphere where we can sit down and just have a good old-fashioned family dinner. But unfortunately now, most people can't do it at home. So, you know, two people are working, the kids' activities. And so what we're doing is we provide that and we make it affordable. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, I'm Larry Castelli, and I love living at Adams Place. I do exercise. I go three times a week. I go to stretch and balance, always conscious of your needs. It's not that someone is telling you what to do, it's they're looking out for you. It's a good workout.
And what about the food?
Oh, give me a break. There's so much food here. I would highly recommend Adam's Place.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Beth Dye is now with us, Assistant Director of Alumni Engagement in the MTSU Alumni Relations Office. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Kind of remind us what all you do at MTSU.
Well, I'm one of the Assistant Directors for Alumni Relations, and basically I do some programming for engagement activities with our alumni. My main focus is homecoming activities and our alumni summer college, which we're going to talk about today, and then other regional events and stuff like that.
Now, when is the deadline to actually register for MTSU's Alumni Summer College?
This Friday, May 23rd, is the deadline to register.
That's right here.
It's right here, right around the corner. Yep.
And what will be happening during summer college this year for alumni, and what is that all about?
It's really exciting time. This is an annual event, and this is our 16th year that we're providing Alumni Summer College, which is a three-day kind of edutaining, quote, conference that we host, where we bring our alumni back to college, and we focus on specific departments on campus that we want to showcase. So this year we're showcasing the College of Liberal Arts and College of Behavioral Health Sciences, focusing on the arts. And our theme is Masterpiece in the Making, Creativity Beyond the Canvas. Just kind of thinking, if you had an inner artist, what would that inner artist want to do or take through campus? There's a lot of things that we offer at MTSU through College of Liberal Arts and various other departments, and we're going to highlight some of that. We provide classes, workshops, and then different field trips that we take them on. So it's very interactive and a new twist on basically college and bringing you back for further learning.
So will they also take on an art project of their own or anything like that?
That's a very good possibility. We have a lot of different classes. So we're going to touch a little bit on acting and storytelling, a little bit about how to speak in front of people and how to take on acting for the first time and learn some different things. We're going to have some workshops where they can get their hands right in there, and they're going to do some sculpture work, and then they can do some artwork as well. Then we're going to also focus on different sides of things, such as photography and having an eye for art in a different way, and how to use your camera, take photos, and then also in fashion. Fashion is another artistic way of showing your artistic ability through fashion and marketing and textiles. And so we'll have a class on that, and then some fun surprises as well.
And these alumni who are coming back for this, some of them may have graduated with a degree that is so far from art.
Absolutely.
This is going to be totally unusual and out of character for them.
Absolutely. So we might make you step out of your box a little bit and use a creative side that may not be something that most of them do on a regular basis, but we also try to make it fun. We know that this is going to be a first time for many of the folks that will be attending, trying to test what kind of creative side that they have. So we're going to touch on all the different elements and see if something, hits for everybody. And like I said, we've got some fun surprises as well.
For those who have already enrolled for this, do you know anything about their background yet? Have you had a chance to look at it?
Oh yeah, we have some tremendous alumni who have been part of Alumni Summer College since its inception. And they return every year just to see what we're going to do next. And they're always excited about it. And some of them have provided some ideas of what they'd like to see. And a lot of them are some of our retired alumni who are able to kind of take a three-day break from work, or, are retired and can come be part of this. And then we do have a little bit of a younger crowd that's taking part of this as well for the first time. So we have a nice mix of folks that are already registered for the event, And it's looking like we'll have close to 50 people, maybe a little bit more, which is great. That's kind of a, you know, a large group that we get to work with. And then some of the things that they enjoy are not only our interactive classes and workshops and meeting the professors that we have on campus, but we also take them off campus for some field trips. And this year we're going to be visiting the Maxwell Art Gallery in Nashville, which is a glass blowing gallery, and they're going to do a demo on some glass blowing. And then we're also going to take them to the Frist Art Museum as well.
Over the 3 days that this takes place, where do they typically stay? Are they staying at hotels here in town? Are they staying on campus?
Their stay is basically up to them. We do have a lot of folks that come from out of town, out of state, to join this program, which is really exciting that we get to engage with folks from all over. They typically stay in hotels, and we have lots of deals with hotels around Murfreesboro so that these folks can come to town and participate. But what they basically do is come to campus, and then we try to spend the first 2 days on campus and show them around different areas, things that are new on campus that they maybe haven't seen in the past, and highlight newer things and newer programs that we have, and then we take them on field trips later in the week.
How often do you have professors who are meeting some of these folks for the first time, and they end up talking to them later throughout the next year, the year after that,
yeah,
and maybe even bring them into their classroom as a guest to talk about business in today's world, perhaps?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the goals of this event is to showcase what we have on campus, and they get to meet some of these professors, our deans, chairs of the departments, people that they haven't interacted with before. And then some of these folks are our donors, and some of them are, you know, they take an interest and then they come back for our spring showcase, and they may sit in a class, they may participate as a panelist in a session later on, talk with their students, and just really get to know what the program is, and that's what's so exciting about it.
Again, Beth Dye with us, Assistant Director of Alumni Engagement in the MTSU Alumni Relations Office. And once more, the deadline in order to apply to be a part of this or to register to be a part of it is when?
It is this Friday, May 23rd, and you can go to mtalumni.com on our website, and you can our event is right up there on our website, and you can register. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me or anybody in our office. But by the end of this Friday, May 23rd, is the deadline to register.
And then the actual 3 days of classes for the MTSU alumni who are taking part in this is in June.
Wednesday, June 25th is the first day, and it'll run through Friday, June 27th.
Okay. It sounds like an interesting event for sure, and it's been going on for, was it 16 or 17 years?
16. Yeah, we had to take a break during COVID, so this is our 16th year, and we're really excited.
And then once more, the arts is going to be one of the primary focuses.
Absolutely.
And again, I know you mentioned that the glass gallery that mm-hmm. you'll be visiting, but what other types of things? Kind of give us just a real brief idea as we close.
Yeah, like I said, we're gonna touch on some acting, maybe some dancing, some artistic abilities with sculpture and painting and drawing. We're gonna look in the fashion and photography industries as well. We'll have some fun surprises.
Sounds good. Again, this is all coming up. The deadline to register is this Friday, and then the actual event or the classes will be June 25th through the 27th on the MTSU campus.
Yes.
Again, Beth Dye with us. Beth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
This is Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Forget those fluorescent lights and freezer burn. This ain't your average grocery run. Meet your farmer, talk a little livestock, and take home the juiciest veggies in your life. The Rutherford County Farmers Market, celebrating 50 seasons.
At Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro.
Real food, real people, and real local.
In today's changing world, you need a financial planner that you're comfortable with. Rely on the bonds that you've built with trusted friends at Old National Bank on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard here in the borough. And if you just moved here, visit us and enjoy warm homemade cookies.
Honey, the cookies are ready.
Like Grandma used to make. Old National Bank, We're better together.
2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard, Old National Bank, member FDIC.